Okay, so we had actually begun the Gemara that we're about to continue with now. So let's just briefly remind ourselves of the principle of dichui. Dichui means rejection. When something is rejected, then in some cases it remains rejected even if the reason for its initial rejection no longer applies. So what was the case that we saw? We actually saw two cases. Case number one was that if somebody ate ma'acholos, he ate something he was not allowed to, he then was mafresh a korban in order to bring a kapara, and then he went off the derech, he became a rosha. A rosha doesn't just mean he was over an aveira. The lashon of the Gemara was heimir dosoi. He literally gave up his religion. Somebody like that cannot bring a korban, which means that the korban is now rejected. The Gemara says that even if afterwards he is chozer b'tshuva, it's too late. So again, although the reason for the korban's rejection no longer applies because he's been chozer b'tshuva, but it's too late. Once rejected, the korban remains rejected. That was case number one. Case number two is very similar in that somebody was mafresh a korban and he became a shoyta, which means he lost his das, and a shoyta, as we explain, also cannot bring a korban. We learn this from a pasuk. It's got to be liratzoinoi. The Torah says the korban has to be brought with his consent. And if it's with his consent, that by definition means he's got das. If he's got no das, then he cannot possibly bring the korban. Afterwards, he has a refuah shleima and he gets his das back. Well, it's too bad. The korban has been rejected and he cannot now bring the korban. So it seemed to be the same principle, exactly the same. And the Gemara explained that yes, essentially it is the same principle, but each one has an element of chiddush. What's the element of chiddush? Well, in the first case, it was his own doing. Nobody pushed him off the derech. He decided to go off the derech. So maybe that's a more severe rejection. On the other hand, maybe the second case is a more severe rejection when he became a shoyter, because that's not within his control to reverse it. He might remain a shoyta forever, whereas in the case where he went off the derech, he can always be chozer b'tshuva. So either way, I might well have thought that either case is a more severe rejection than the other. And that's why I needed to be told in both cases that no, it has the same halacha, and that once rejected, it remains rejected forever. So that's where we left off with.
Rabbi, quick, can I ask a quick question? If a person becomes a shota, isn't it usually a result of some avera or some mistake that he's making and that he could correct and therefore he wouldn't be a shota? So yeah, it's not in his control, but maybe he did something that caused him to be act like he ate treif and therefore now he's a shota.
It could be, but Lemaisa, he's a chayla now. So once he's a chayla, it's not biyado to bring it back. Maybe a sgula, if he's chayza b'tshuva, Kadosh Baruch will have rachmonas, but al pi darak yateva, there's no way to reverse it. Whereas if he goes off the derech, that's just a case of bechira. Poshut, straightforward bechira, he decided to give up religion, he can easily decide now to bring it back. Okay, so have a look at the Gemara. We are on about the eighth or ninth line. In the middle of the wide lines, Omer Rabbi Yosef, towards the end of the line, Omer Rabbi Yosef, Af Anan Nami Tanina. We have learned a similar halacha, L'chaira. We can now bring a third example of this sugya called Nidche. Again, Nidche means rejected. Once rejected, it remains rejected. So Rabbi Yosef says, I'd like to suggest now a third source for the same principle. What is that? So here we know we have the famous halacha of Ir HaNidachas. What's the halacha of Ir HaNidachas? As we well know, a town in which all, or at least rove, of the people have been Oved Avodah Zarah, then everybody in the town, whether they did or didn't serve Avodah Zarah, but because they're that part of that town, everything has to be killed, everyone has to be killed, and all of the assets are all destroyed. The question is, what about Korbonis? If you have an Ir HaNidachas in which somebody had allocated an animal for a korban, is that also destroyed? And the answer is that no, it's not. We'll see in a moment. Rashi brings a pasuk to suggest to us that's the makor, that even though everything in the town must be destroyed, but that does not apply to korbanos. So the question is, fine, what do we do with the korbanos? We won't destroy them, but what do we do with them? So have a look at the Gemara. Hoyu bo kodshim, kodshe mizbeach. We know there are two types of kodshim. You can have kodshim, I can either dedicate, as it were, an animal to the Beis HaMikdash for a korban. So that's kodshim, but what type of kodshim? It's kodshim, which is going to the mizbeach. I can also dedicate, if I want, a table to the Beis HaMikdash. That's not going to go into the mizbeach, obviously, it's not a korban, but it becomes kodosh. And is now property of the Beis HaMikdash and has all the halachas that we know of, Hekdesh and Me'ilah, etc., etc. Any of those items, whether it's kodshei mizbeach, the animal, or whether it's kodshei bedek habayis means anything that goes to the building, meaning the coffers of the Beis HaMikdash, so I can dedicate an apple, I can dedicate a chair. So none of those items are destroyed even in the Ir HaNidacha, says the Gemara. Hoyu ba kodshim. If you had in the town kodshim, the town of Ir HaNidachas, is kodshim mizbeach yomusu. So if it's kodshim mizbeach, we do not destroy the korban, but we just have to let it die. Meaning, we don't destroy it on the one hand, but neither do we bring it upon the Mizbeach? Halacha number one. Halacha number two, Kodshei, Bedek HaBayis, in similar vein, Yifdu has to be redeemed. So again, on the one hand, it's not destroyed because it's Kadosh, but on the other hand, it's not treated as it were with normal Kedusha, it should be redeemed. So you pay and you add a Chaimesh, etc., etc., and then the original item gets stripped of its Kedusha completely, and the Kedusha now is transferred to the equivalent item in its place. That is a statement in a Braisa. Now, Vehevinon bo, and we asked on that particular line, Amar Yamusu, why does this animal need to die? Why can't it be sacrificed upon the Mizbeach? So, Lechaira, what would be the obvious answer? The obvious answer is, well, it cannot be sacrificed on the Mizbeach because it's owned by a Rasha, an Oved Aveda Zara. But one moment, we've actually now killed the Oved Aveda Zara, and surely he's no longer considered a Rasha because he's been Zeicha to a Kapara, because we're assuming for the moment that once you kill him, he's now Zeicha to a Kapara. And if he's Zeicha to a Kapara, then Lechaira, the korban is no longer a korban of a rasha, so you should be allowed to be makriv the korban al gabem mizbeach. Says the Gemara, Amar Yomusu, why must this animal die? Kiven deiktoil, seeing as the person was killed, havilahu kaporam. Surely he has now been atoned for, in which case, veliskoi legevoya. Why can't I put it up on the Mizbeach and give it to the Gevoya, give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were? Because the owner of the Korban is no longer a Rasha. So doesn't that prove to us our point now for the third time? Lav Mishum. Isn't the explanation because, Damrinon, we say, Hoyel v'nidchu yidchu. Once rejected, it remains rejected. So Rabbi Yosef now is suggesting yet another makor, a third makor, for this principle of dichui, of rejection. The first case was when the person went off the derech, he gave up his religion. The second case was when he became a shoyter. The third case is where he is an oved avodah zara. So even though he's no longer considered a rasha, because we're assuming that after his death, he has a kapora. So why can I not now bring the korban? It's true, I understand that initially I couldn't do so because he was a Rasha at the time. But surely he's no longer a Rasha, he's no longer considered an Oved Aveda Zara. And if that's the case, so why can I not be Makriv the Korban? So doesn't this prove us, once again, this proves the point that once there was a rejection, there was a rejection. So have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Hoyu bakodshim be'ir hanidachas. We're talking about an Ir HaNidachas. But the kodshim is einon nisrofin im shlolo. The ear hanidachas, everything has to be burned, all the shalol. The shalol means all the booty, all the contents, but the kodshim is not burned. Why? The ksiv shlolo. It's booty, and we make a drasha v'loy shlal shomayim. Not, however, heavenly booty. Umiyu, however, mikrav loy karavu. Albeit it's not destroyed because it's a holy artifact, but it's not sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Diksiv, because we have a pasuk, Mishum Diksiv, it's a pasuk in Mishlei, a famous pasuk, Zevach Rishoyim Toyevo. So the pasuk in Mishlei says, Zevach Rishoyim Toyevo. So you're not allowed to be makriv, the korban of a rosha, al gabe Mizbeach. That's if it's an animal, kodshe mizbeach. V'yim kodshe mizbeachein, va'afilu oilois v'shlomim nedova, nonetheless, yomusu. Even if all they are is just a nedova, somebody wanted to donate a korban shlomim, or a korban oila to the Beis HaMikdash, which is entitled to do, I'm very sorry. Yes, it will not be destroyed, on the one hand, but on the other, it will not be sacrificed upon the Mizbeach. Anybody who resides in Ner HaNidachas is classified as a Rosha. Zevach Roshoim is a Te'evo. That's if it's Kodshe Mizbeach. And what happens if it's Kodshe Bedek HaBayis? Yiftu. Well, then it's redeemed. Says Rashi, Keshar Bedek HaBayis. Just like any Bedek HaBayis, which can always be redeemed. And whoever comes to redeem it, Yoichleim, now is allowed to consume it because it's stripped of its holiness following the pidyon, following the redemption. Sha'arei lo nesru, it didn't become forbidden. D'lav diduhu, it's not his, he's not a Rosha. So therefore, it had initial holiness, it's now redeemed. Umidektani yamusu, says Rashi. Because it says Yomusu that the korban has to die. Shma mino. What do I learn from here? Rashi's explaining the Gemara's question. Mishum denidchu mehakrova. Because it's now been rejected from sacrificing. Kishehemiru ba'aleyenhu. When the Bailim, the owner, now went off the derech, when he rejected his religion. The mumala avodah zara, somebody who is prone to avodah zara, loy mekablinon shum korban mine. We are not mekabel any korban from whatsoever. Kedomrina b'koil sheichtin, as it says in HaKoil sheichtin, which is in Chulin. So even though the Gemara is assuming that following his death, he has been zeicha to a kapora, and he's not considered a rosha, but he definitely was a rosha initially. Says Rashi, dehoyil v'nitchu nitchu, de'im yishum zevach. Because were it merely to be the fact that we have the pasuk of zevach rishoyim, well, that no longer applies. Ha'kivim de'iktoil, once he's been killed, islu kapori, as a kaporas, so he's no longer a rasha. So I understand that initially you're not allowed to be makir of the korban because we have the pasuk of zevach rishoyim, but he's no longer a rasha. Why is he no longer a Rasha? Because he's had a kapara following his death, and you're no longer allowed to live. You still can't bring the korban and government mizbeach. Why not? Well, doesn't this prove our point? Kiven de nidchu nidchu. That is what Rabbi Yosef is trying to suggest. So again, we had initially two cases, and Rabbi Yosef is now adding a third. Case number one was somebody was mafresh a korban and he rejected his religion. And he was then chayza b'tshuva. Case number two was he was mafresh a korban and then became a shoita, but then was zeicha to refuah shleima. And in both of those cases, we said he cannot be makir of the korban. Why not? Once rejected, it remains rejected. So Rabbi Yosef is now saying, fine, I have a third case. What is the third case? The third case is in the case of ir hanidachas. If the brisa says that yes, we don't burn the korban, we don't destroy it, but nonetheless, it cannot be sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Wouldn't that once again suggest this Yesod? even though he's no longer a Rasha. He was initially a Rasha, but he's no longer a Rasha because he's been Zecher to his Kapara. So why can you not be Makar of the Korban now? Surely this is once again the good old principle of Hoyle v'nidchu nidchu. That is Rabbi Yosef's suggestion.
Why do we need three cases?
He's not. He's just saying we don't need three cases. He just says I found another case in a Braisa. He's not telling us the Chiddush himself. He just says I discovered l'chayra, this would be the pshat in another Braisa. So again, we have a Braisa that says that the korban of the Avodah Zarah of the Aron Nidachas can no longer be sacrificed, can still not be sacrificed, and we are assuming, says Rabbi Yosef, surely that's based on our principle once again of hoyel v'nidchu nidchu. However, the Gemara now will discuss this. Not so poshut. Not so poshut. Not so poshut. Oh, male Abaye. So Abaye responded to Rabbi Yosef, I disagree. I disagree. And I don't think necessarily that that Brisa would be a source, would be a proof, or an example, once again, of the halacha of dichui, of rejection. Why? Remember, Rabbi Yosef was making an enormous assumption. And this assumption is what's going to be debated now in the Gemara. What's the assumption? The assumption of Rabbi Yosef is that once this person was put to death from Aron Nidachas, then he gets a kapara. That was the entire basis for his yesod, because he was assuming that following the death he gets a kapara. Well, therefore, that begs the question, if indeed he's zeicher to a kapara, so why are we telling him that the korban has to die? He's no longer a rasha. That, Rabbi Yosef said, surely must lead us to the conclusion of dichui. But again, that's all based on the fact that he's assuming that what? That once he's killed, he's zeicher to a kapara. If that assumption is not true, well, then the whole yesod falls away. Why? Because if we would say that following his death, he's not zeicher to a kapara, well, then he's still a rasha. Well, obviously, you can't now bring the korban because he's still a rasha, so I can still invoke the pasuk of zevach rashayim toyeva. That's nothing to do with the principle of once rejected, always rejected. So you can only try and prove to me the principle of dichui, once rejected, always rejected, if you're assuming that he's been zeicher to a kapara. Remember we said that the whole principle of dichui, of saying that once rejected, always rejected, is based on the fact that the reason for the initial rejection no longer applies. Like in the case when he became a shaita, but now he's been zecher to refuah shleima, so he is not a shaita anymore. So the initial reason for rejection doesn't apply. So the only reason it would still be considered rejected is because of our principle, once rejected, always rejected. And that's what we're trying to work out over here. In the case of Aron Nidachas, the initial reason for rejection, well, that's poshut, he was a rasha. Is he still a rasha? Well, if he's still a rasha, well, obviously the korban is still rejected, there's been no change. But Rabbi Yosef is assuming he's no longer a rasha. This is his big assumption. After the death, he has a kapara. And if he has a kapara, now he's considered in Gan Eden to be a big tzaddik. So why can we not sacrifice his korban? I understand that initially not, but why not now? Says Rabbi Yosef, surely this proves us once again the principle of dichui. Once rejected, always rejected. And that is what Abaye is about to challenge. Yes, Rabbi.
Isn't really this the same case as a guy who does tshuva? Because whether it's whether he does tshuva and therefore he's a tzaddik, or he got a kapara, he's a tzaddik, it's really the same case.
This is the Gemara's discussion. When a person is chayzer b'tshuva, like we said, he was heimir dosai, he went off the derech, he gave up his religion, but now he's chayzer b'tshuva. So obviously, he's totally retracted. But over here, in the case of Aron Nidachas, I don't know if he was chayzer b'tshuva, he was just put to death. So would we necessarily assume, like you said, that that's tantamount to be chayzer b'tshuva? That's exactly the discussion over here. And Abaye challenges it. Omale Abaye. Mi sovras. This is exactly what Larry was saying now. The Gemara is going to challenge that. Mi sovras. Do you really hold that mace mitoich rishoy? That's the key word. That if a person dies whilst wicked, havalei kapara question mark. Mace mitoich rishoy loy havalei kapara. I'm very sorry to tell you, says Abaya, I disagree with your whole assumption. If somebody dies having been choyzer b'tshuva, well, then obviously he's no longer a rasha. But if somebody dies as a rasha, like in the case of Irani Dachas, we have no evidence to suggest that they were choyzer b'tshuva. Rather, the whole town was put to death because that is the principle of Irani Dachas. Fine. So he was a rasha and died a rasha. Well, if he died a rasha, then he still is a rasha. So how do you know he has a kapara? And if he hasn't been zeicha to a kapara, then I'm very sorry to tell you, this has nothing to do with the principle of dichui. The reason why you cannot bring his korban now is not because once rejected, always rejected. Rather, because he's still a rasha. Why are you assuming that somebody who dies as a rasha all of a sudden gets a kapara? And I'll prove it to you, says Abaye. What's the proof? The Tani Rav Shemaya. Because Rav Shemaya said the following, and this will prove to us, says Abaya, that somebody who dies as a Rasha is not Zecher to a Kapara. Yochai Afilu Pirushu Avoisov Midarke Tzibur Yitmo. What is this talking about? Says Rashi. Yochai Pirushu Oviv. The imoy shel koyin. This is a very, very difficult halacha, very painful halacha, as it were. Where actually, I'll share with you in a moment. I had a shaila exactly on this subject last week, which I'll discuss in a moment. We know a koyin is not allowed to become tomei as a general rule, even for somebody dead, except in the case of his seven closest relatives, his father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, or wife. So, what happens if the Kohen's parents passed away? So, under ordinary circumstances, the Kohen is allowed to become Tomei. But what happens if his parents went off the Derech? Parents are irreligious. Is he still allowed to become Tomei for them? Does the permit to become Tomei for the close relatives depend on whether they are or not on the derech? So look back into the Gemara now. Yochel, I might have thought that afilu pirushu avoisov, even if his avoisov, his parents pirushu, they left the fold. Midarkei tzibur, from the ways of the tzibur, they've left the fold. They've gone off the derech. I might have thought yitmo that the kohen is still allowed to become tomei in order to be involved in their burial. Talmud loima that no. Ba'amov. What does Ba'amov mean? Ba'amov in his nation. How do we understand that word, Ba'amov in his nation? We understand it to mean Ba'oisei Maisei Amov. It's only allowed as long as the parent is indeed practicing Maisa Amov. He's practicing behaving like a Jew. But when he's not behaving like a Jew, then I'm sorry to tell you that's not when the halacha is. That's not when it applies. And Mamela, he's not allowed to become Tommy. That's the halacha. Yes, Reb Larry.
Why should this only relate to a Kohen? If a regular person has a parent who's, they should have the same, well, since he's not Ba'amav, they're not behaving, so why do I have to be mechaber them? Why do I have to sit shiva?
No,
Why do I have to
also,
do?
we're not talking about kibbutz. We're not talking about kibbutz. Kibbutz is a
But
different principle.
there's also tamei meis for a regular human being. So why
No,
should
but
the
that's, a regular Yisrael has no
maybe
issa
isn't
to become Tomei. A regular Yisrael has got no issa to become Tomei, so I don't need a permit. But a Kohen needs a special permit to become Tomei. So the Torah is saying that permit is only granted in the case of when his parents are still along the straight and narrow, having gone off the Derech. Then we revert back to the normal rule, which is a kohen is not allowed to become tamei. Now, what's this got to do with our sugya? Everything. Because who cares that the Kohen's father or mother were off the derech, but they've died now. And if they've died, why would I not say they got a kapara and he's no longer considered a rasha? So I see from this principle that no, if somebody dies not having been chayzer b'tshuva, then they're still considered to be a rasha. That's why the Kohen cannot become tameh to deal with their levaya. So coming back to our principle as well, if somebody died in the Irani Dachas, don't bring me a proof from there to the principle of once rejected, always rejected, because you assumed he's now a tzaddik, he's got a kapara. I'm sorry to tell you, he's not got a kapara because he remained his a Rasha till his very last second alive. Have a look at Rashi. Yochel pirshu aviv imo shel kohen midarkei tzibuk kagoyin muma. Rashi says a mumma. A mumma means somebody who's totally rejected religion, not just he's doing an averas. Unfortunately, every person does averas. That's not what we're talking about. It means he's totally rejected his religion. Yitame lohem b'moisom. So I would have thought that he's allowed to become tomei, and not just allowed. He's got to become tomei in order to deal with their relatives' funeral. So Talmud Loima that no, lenefesh lo yitami ba'amov, the emphasis on the word amov, kiyim l'sheira ba'oisei maisei amov. Only if indeed he's practicing the maisei amov, that's when yitmo loy, bevi'im lav, but if not, al yitmo afilu l'sheira, he cannot become tomei, even if it's to his closest, nearest, and dearest. Says Rashi, what do I see from over here? Alma. So we see that what? Loi Kipro Loi Misasai. We see that his death did not act as an atonement for him. Im Loi Chozar Boy, if he never retracted. So in the case of the Kohen, what do we see over here? That the father was a Rasha. He died as a Rasha. He was never Chozar, never retracted it. So even after his death, he's still considered to be a Rasha. And if he's still considered to be a Rasha, you cannot become Tommy for him. So you see that death does not automatically act as an atonement. So too, therefore, in the case of Irani Dachas, when he was in the Irani Dachas, but he was not Chayza. Doesn't say he was Chayza B'tshuva, he just got killed. And if he got killed, but he was still a Rasha, then he remains a Rasha. So if you want to know, why can I not, following his death, why can I not sacrifice his korban? It's not because once rejected, always rejected the principle of dichui. It's nothing to do with it. What is it? Because he's still considered a rasha, just like the Kohen's father. And if that's the case, says Abaye Rabbi Yosef, I'm sorry to tell you have no proof whatsoever from there to the principle of dichui. Yes, Rabbi Lai, you wanted to say something?
Sorry to be so vocal today. I apologize. But maybe there's a bigger stringency on a Kohen because the father's a Kohen himself. So if you have a Kohen himself who's rejecting Yahadus, maybe death is not a kapara, but for a regular person, it would be a kapara. But this guy's father's a Kohen.
Fine, but the Gemara doesn't say that. Okay, I hear. The Gemara doesn't say that. Chiluk. I, by the way, did have this question literally last week when somebody from Ramah Aleph from the United States of America, he just learned that his sister had passed away in the United States of America, and his sister was totally irreligious. So the question was, is he mechuyev to sit Shiva? A very similar type of question. Is he mechuyev to sit Shiva for a sister, a relative who is totally irreligious, married out, I think. So I referred them to Rav Goldstein, Rav Mordechai Goldstein, who's a Rav there in Ramah Aleph, and it was his neighborhood that this particular person lived. And his answer was very fascinating. The answer that he came back with was as follows: it depends. We know there's a principle of a tinoik shenishba, child who, as it were, doesn't know better. So his answer was, find out, did this particular woman ever have any type of Jewish education? If she never had any Jewish education, so literally she doesn't know any better. So if she didn't go off the derech, she was never on the derech. But if she had some type of basic Jewish education, even a very minimal level of education, so she would certainly know that a Jew doesn't marry out. And if that's the case, then he's not mechuyev to sit shiva. It turned out, indeed, that was indeed the case. As a child, she certainly had some basic level of Jewish education. The assumption is that she was definitely would know that a Jew doesn't marry out. And if she did, she's considered totally up to reject it and left the fold, and therefore there's no chiyuv to sit shiva whatsoever. A very tragic shaila.
But I was saying something a little different. I was saying that when we're making a chiluk, because the guy's father's a Kohen, so
No,
maybe
it's not. I understand. Yeah, I appreciate your answer.
but
Okay,
he
so
could
at
if he
the
wanted to.
Sorry?
He could say sit shiva for his sister
Yeah, but
if he
it's a little bit
wanted to.
complicated because even if somebody wants to sit shiva, but you're not allowed to allow that to be a kula. For example, somebody sitting shiva is not allowed to learn Talmud Torah. But this person, if you want to voluntarily sit shiva, maybe you'd be allowed, but he's got no exemption now from Talmud Torah. You can't use that to be lenient. You could be machmir. This is very relevant in a case of step parents. And that is, imagine somebody remarries a spouse who has children and they bring them up for years and years and they feel so close. They were literally brought up by the stepfather or the stepmother and they feel like children. They know they're not. They know that biologically they're not. They're not even a half parent. They're completely unrelated, as it were, but they were brought up by the parent's new spouse. So I know various stories that when this parent passed away, the children, quote unquote, wanted to sit shiva. Even though biologically they're not related at all, it just happens to be their father's second wife or their mother's second husband. But they felt so close having been brought up by this particular individual, as a korasa toiv, and because of the pain, they wanted to sit shiva. So that would be permissible. But it's very interesting. Like we said, you can't allow yourself to be lenient. For example, a fascinating question was, are they allowed to do kriya? After all, when you tear a beged, you're ruining the beged. It's an issa of bal tashchis. So if there's a chiyuv of kriya, Mercedes, there's a chiyuv of kriya, so it's not bal tashchis, that's what you're mechuyev to do. But if you voluntarily want to sit shiva and do kriya, are you allowed to do kriya and thereby ruin the beged? Maybe that's bal tashchis. Because there is
Like
no
for
obligation.
instance,
Sorry?
there's certainly no onen as an example.
Right, there's no aninus, therefore, if exactly, therefore, if they would eat, they would have to make brachas. 100% right. So that all the leniencies, as it were, of avelos, lechayre, they have no right to adopt. At best, the chumras, but not the leniencies. I'll cop on and back to our case. So at this stage, we'll see it. The Gemara carries on, we'll have to carry on tomorrow, but it goes forwards and backwards. So the bottom line is, at this stage of the game, Rabbi Yosef lechayre does not have a proof. Because what is Abaye claiming? Abaye is claiming that somebody who dies as a Rasha is still a Rasha, as proved by the case of the Kohen. And if that's the case, in the case of Irani Dachas, when he died, why are we assuming that he's got a Kapara? He absolutely has not got a Kapara. And he's still very much a Rasha. And if he's still very much a Rasha, so obviously that's why he can't be Makriv his Karban. But it's nothing to do with the principle of Dichui. We'll see tomorrow how this continuation, how the conversation of Mitzvah Hashem continues. Okay, be well. Have a great day, everybody.